It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now to the Ice Age Trail, that 1,200-mile-long path winding across landscapes carved by glaciers in Wisconsin through the ages.
Now there's another trail in the works exploring the special part of Wisconsin where no glaciers roamed, the Driftless Area.
The Driftless Area Land Conservancy has kicked off a 50-mile trail project connecting three state parks, that is Blue Mound, Tower Hill, and Governor Dodge.
Barb Barzin is the Community Conservation Specialist for the Driftless Area Land Conservancy, and Emily Butler is Vice President of Partnerships for the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation, which is turning two sections of its land into conservation easements to be part of the Driftless Trail. Emily, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
And Barb, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. This is a great conversation to look forward to.
And now the idea for this Driftless Trail, I understand, has been a while in the making. Can you tell us about the origins of putting this together?
Yeah. So our previous executive director, Dave Clutter, lived in Madison and commuted out to the Driftless Area Land Conservancy's office in Dodgeville for a number of years. And he finally got tired of just being able to drive through this beautiful country and not be able to get out and hike it. And he wanted to be able to go camping with his kids in this. So he started out with the idea as just a recreational opportunity. But the more he talked about it, the more it seemed like a really great land conservation strategy as well. And part of our organization's mission as a land trust is to connect people with this landscape. So it just started to roll from there. He contracted with the National Park Service to help us develop the concept plan for it. And I jumped in as a contractor during that whole process. We did a couple of public meetings just to kind of bounce this idea off of the public in I think four different communities that this trail will go through or go near. And seemed to get enough positive feedback that we decided to go for it. And we had a few landowners step up to offer to host the trail. So the stars just started aligning in a way that we decided, okay, this is worth the leap because it's a very ambitious vision. The whole idea is to connect Tower Hill, Governor Dodge, and Blue Mound State Parks with a quiet trail, just a footpath. And it will cross, even though it will connect state properties, it will cross primarily private lands. And so finding enough landowners in alignment to make that happen is a bit of a leap of faith.
That does sound complicated, Barb. Can you talk about how that's going, how people have responded, people who own the land that could be part of this trail?
Yeah, well, you know, our first segment that we opened was with a woman whose parents bought a farm just north of Governor Dodge State Park back in the 1960s. It's a large property with a couple of valleys. And as we were doing a conservation easement with her, she said, you know, I really don't go down into this valley all that much. And she really believes in the concept of public access on private lands. And so we started there. And so that's the Weaver Road segment. It was the first one that we opened up. And it's a beautiful 1.1 mile, what we call a lollipop loop. It's part out and back and part loop. Goes way down into a valley. So you start really high with an amazing view all the way up to the lower Wisconsin River. And then get way down into a valley and a walk along the base of a pine relict, which is a really classic Driftless Area feature. And then there's another couple about 4 miles east of there that does a lot of hiking in Europe. And of course, in Europe, the whole concept of public access on private property is just baked into the culture. And so they run a grass-fed beef operation on just a beautiful large property. So we put 2.7 miles of trail on their land. And that is what we call our Knobs Road segment. And then Emily can speak to this, but as soon as we start talking about this idea, the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation that owns and manages the Frank Lloyd Wright Taliesin Estate was all over this. You know, it just really aligns with the values and the concept of what they're doing there.
Emily, let's bring you in on this now. We were just hearing Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation leaped at this opportunity, it sounds like. Tell us about why you wanted to participate in the Driftless Trail.
Yeah, absolutely. So this land really inspired Franklin Wright. You know, this is where he is from. He spent his childhood here. So fundamentally, all of his architecture and all of his ideas about architecture actually come from where we are right now and where this trail is. So the opportunity for the foundation and for Taliesin to be more integrated into the community and to provide new opportunities for visitors to experience Taliesin and this land in a way that Frank Lloyd Wright would have been able to and that inspired him really advances our mission, and it means a lot to us. And I think it's a win-win-win.
Emily, paint us a picture of the land by Taliesin that the trail's going through. Some hills, Barb mentioned.
Yeah. So we are in the Driftless here. So this lovely rolling hill. So actually, out of my window here, I'm actually looking at the Welsh Hills. And there are three beautiful hills. And they are, again, this inspiration for Frank Lloyd Wright's landscape. And so the Welsh Hills trails kind of gently goes back and forth and rolls up and down these hills. And as you're up there, you can actually look back and see the entire Taliesin property. And then Phoebe Point, which happens to be my favorite section of the trail here, is a little bit more hidden. It is an opportunity for visitors to walk through a beautiful wooded area. And they're actually, as they walk up, going to be able to see different kinds of restoration projects. We've been trying to restore our oak savanna and different landscapes, natural landscapes here at Taliesin over the years. So the visitors kind of walk through that process. And at the end, they get to this beautiful overlook where you can see a little bit of Taliesin and a lot of the Wisconsin River.
We're talking about the construction of the Driftless Trail, which will one day connect three state parks in the Driftless area. We have Emily Butler with us from the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation, as we heard, their land part of the trail, and Barb Barzin, Community Conservation Specialist for the Driftless Area Land Conservancy. Barb, it's one thing for Taliesin to host some of the trail. When you're talking with private landowners, you know, maybe they live on part of this property, are there concerns about, having a trail running through their back 40 or whatever the case may be?
Oh, sure. There's always some resistance to it. People are kind of unsure about how their land is going to be treated. But from the very beginning, we've been working really closely with the Ice Age Trail Alliance, since they're like 600 miles into their constructing their 1,000-mile trail that goes, a lot of it is on private lands. And so we picked their brains a lot when we first got this going, and they've been just really generous. And they have found, with all of their experience over 60 years now, that the type of people that use a quiet trail like this tend to be very, very respectful. And even at the, now that they've had the Welsh Hills Trail open for 4 years now, I think, Emily, one of their staff people said that they've maybe picked up one piece of trash on that trail in the whole 4 years that it's been open. So we feel very confident when we tell people, private landowners that we're talking to about hosting the trail, that these hikers tend to be very respectful. They're there for a quiet trail experience, and they want to leave it the way that they found it, and they want to make sure that other people can experience it the way that they did. So we understand that there are certain issues that we have to work through, and we're just being very patient and not trying to cram anything down anybody's throat. There's no government and agencies involved in this. We don't take anybody's land. It's all totally volunteer. And so far, the kind of landowners that we have been able to line up are just right on board with this whole idea, and they're trying to make it happen right alongside us.
Emily, I understand you're on a team that's starting to develop an interpretive plan for this trail. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a really important part of this. I think, you know, while we want people to just be immersed in nature and be able to experience it for themselves, I think that certain users of the trail will get a lot out of having some kind of interpretation, so they understand the history of the land, the change over time, the impact that it has on their life today. So coming at it from an architectural historian perspective, we're really excited to be able to tell the story of this land from the perspective of Frank Lloyd Wright and his family. But I think at a broader level, this area is so rich in history. So to be able to have an interpretation of this will really add to the value of the trail itself.
Barb, what does the timeline look like for developing the trail?
Oh, it's just one step at a time. And we kind of guess it'll be like a 20-year horizon. But we said that 5 years ago, and we're still saying 20 years. So it's a slow process, and I'm sure that we'll pick up steam as we go along. But we have everybody. We don't put trail on anyone's property unless we have an easement, either a conservation easement on the whole property or a trail easement for just the trail corridor. And that legal process takes a lot of time. It's just really hard to say. And we don't have the whole thing routed, obviously. I mean, we have kind of a 6 or 8 mile stretch at a time, and we have just a really general ideas where the trail will go. But it's a slow and patient process, and that's the way it should be, and that's the way it will always be. Trying to put some sort of an endpoint on it is just folly. And plus, you know, if people get really excited about this, there are so many ways we could go. We could go, you know, keep going west to the Snow Bottom area by Highland. We could go south into the amazingly rich grassland region south of Barneveld. Driftless trail, it's a very general term. We have a 50-mile loop in mind right now, but it could grow from there. You never know. And there's also a Minnesota Driftless Trail. So, you know, if you're thinking 50 miles out, we could somehow connect with the Minnesota Driftless Trail.
Emily, what is it like to be part of this long-term process that ultimately is going to create something that's going to bring people in to really appreciate this this area you live and work in?
So we're doing this work now so that generations of people can continue to experience this and enjoy it in the way that we've been so fortunate to be able to. And I'll just say that it's a joy because there's such a wonderful group of people who are working on this. And ever since I've kind of come to this region, I've just been immersed in the passion that everyone here has for this land and for this property and for this project. So it has been really exciting to be a part of something much greater that will connect different communities, different landscapes, and tell a really wonderful story.
And Barb, an important point here, you mentioned it might be 20-ish years before the whole thing is done. We could start hiking it, you know, tomorrow, right? You've got, I think, 7-ish miles. You described some of the existing paths so far. Mm-hmm. What in the fall, what are some of your favorite things to see this time of year on these trails?
Oh, just the colors. When you put the colorful leaves up against the amazing rock cliffs, it's just an iconic driftless area experience. Weaver Road Trail is particularly beautiful in the fall. I mean, they're all just really beautiful. So, yeah. And if I could say a word about the conservation value of this, we have found that the more that we develop this trail, the educational value of it just really pops out, which is why we're really excited about this interpretive plan. But also the conservation value of it, the land conservation value. We would not be having all these conversations with landowners were it not for this project. And to date, we have legally protected 470 acres in our project area solely because we're having these conversations about this project with landowners. And it's really a one thing leads to another. As we're digging in the dirt and putting in trail, we're finding rare plants. And we just found a really cool rare rock on the Taliesin property. Geologists are pretty excited about, and so then that gets the landowner excited, and then we also try to say, okay, you know, you've got some really great oak savanna or prairie here, and here are some resources that you can tap into if you want to help to manage that property. So it really is a one thing leads to another, and the it's been really shown that developing corridors will create a climate resilient landscape. And it'll create a wildlife corridor and for both plants and animals to move as it's kind of scaling up our conservation, land conservation efforts by creating this long corridor. So this project is valuable on multiple fronts, including land conservation.
Barb, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. It's a great opportunity. Thank you.
And Emily, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Barb Barzin is the Community Conservation Specialist for the Driftless Area Land Conservancy, and Emily Butler is Vice President of Partnerships for the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation. They talked to us about the creation of the Driftless Trail.